It's May 5th, 2023. My name is Rico Brouwer. Welcome to Podcars. My guest is data and pattern analyst Wouter Aukema.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome in your garden.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of months, I visited you here to record, to be witness of your research into the medicine adverse event database in the Netherlands and in Europe. Today we recorded the fifth part of that, and they're all going to be online. But to summarize, Wouter, what have we been doing over the last 3 months?
Yeah, I think it started with with adverse events that I reported for a family member of mine who was suffering from acute pancreatitis. So, and since his specialist, his doctor, mentioned that he had seen three other patients in the same age category as the family member in the same region, the doctor suspected the COVID Pfizer COVID vaccine.
So we followed in that interview.
Yeah.
That case safety report that you filed from LARAP in the Netherlands to a European database?
Yeah, because I managed to find that in all the millions of reports in EMA, I managed to locate the one that I filed.
Then, over the last year, someone has downloaded a subset of the European Adverse Events Database, Eurovigilance, on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And you looked into those reports. What were the two main conclusions there?
Observations, and they were that that we saw significant amounts of safety records end up disappearing. So that is one aspect. And the second aspect is that we noticed that reports were being retroactively modified.
Age group appeared to disappear from records.
That is correct.
Okay. In the after that, and we have done these conversations over the last couple of months, you decided, well, let's try download whatever is available in the European Adverse Events database and analyze that thing myself. That's what you did, and that's what we just recorded.
Yeah.
What are your biggest observations on the data that is presented to you?
I can summarize that in one sentence. It appears from the data that there is a huge problem in pharmacovigilance in Europe.
The other interviews and live demonstrations that we did from there, from your office. Now we're out here in your garden, but before we start summarizing all the other interviews that we did, could you describe yourself? What's your background? What's your profession?
My background is, that my parents always needed an extra pair of fuchsias at home because of my experiments.
Fuses, like power. They ran out of power because you used too many computers.
I caused shortcuts, amongst others. And I'm a computer hacker. I published my research back in 2000 at DEFCON. Started my company Trust Factory, where we analyzed the behavior of computer users for multinationals and governments worldwide.
Okay.
Sold that to IBM. And ever since I do a lot of research.
The topic of this conversation, of this series of interviews, is the adverse events database, adverse medicine events in the Netherlands, in Europe and worldwide. You're not doing this alone. What can you tell us about the team that you have been working with over the last more than a year?
Well, more than 2 years, because it started back in April 2021 when I was approached by Professor Harald Wallach from Germany, along with Rainer Clement, an oncologist from Germany. They were analyzing and investigating how many lives are saved by COVID vaccines based on the Israeli data that was available there. And their question to me was if I could analyze the number of deaths that are reported along with COVID vaccinations. And we did a publication end of May 2021, where we held two world records, the most read article in the world, and the other record was it was the fastest retracted article in the world.
Yep. And you did go into more depth on that background in the first conversation that we did. People can review that. Okay. What I want to dig into here is, yeah, who is working with you currently? Are you doing, yeah, this by yourself, or who is helping you? What is the team that's delivering the content?
Yeah, there is a person that in November 2021 started downloading EMA data for COVID vaccines every week for more than a year. So that is a lot of data. And I got involved with that person like some half year ago, I believe, and start helping to analyze what was going on. So that is one part of the team. There are also other initiatives in Europe. There is a team in Greece. There is a team in Germany combined with Austria, yeah, that are also doing a lot of research.
Why are you doing this?
First of all, because I can.
It's within your expertise.
Exactly.
What do you hope to achieve? What's the desired outcome?
The desired outcome is to inform the people and the specialists in the world when necessary.
Yeah. So you have entered a rabbit hole. I have, anyway, following your story. Mm-hmm. And that thing went ever deeper.
Yeah, it is.
Has what you want to achieve, has that changed?
Yeah, of course that changes, because the more knowledge you gain from what you see, the more you see. Yeah.
Okay. So, as an overview, we don't have a whiteboard here, and people can look at the previous recordings where we go in deeper, but can you describe how does the Dutch event database work, LAREP, and how does information that's reported there land in the European database, Eudravigilance, and how do marketing authorization holders, the pharmaceutical industry, play a role in that?
So when patients or relatives, family members of those patients or their doctors suspect a side effect from any form of medication, they report that into what's called a national competent authority. Every EU member state has such an authority. In Holland this is LAREP, in Germany is Paul-Ehrlich Institute. So basically what you do is you file a report at the Dutch LAREP. According to the EU regulations, LAREP then needs to forward that report towards the EMA, Eudravigilance database. Market authorization holders also have an obligation to do that for the products and substances that they produce. They are legally obliged to look for suspected adverse events and submit that information into the EMA.
So you submitted an individual case safety report for the family member of yours. Something went wrong there.
So LAREP is responsible for coding that report into the terminology and the systematics that go with this. I was able to find my filing back in the EMA database and noticed that for some reason, they did not mention that my family member was hospitalized.
Yeah, and we have talked about that. It's in Dutch and it's English subtitled, but in it you made a call to action. And in my words, so you found your own individual case safety report that you filed, and there was a
big mismatch, yeah.
Big
yeah.
error in that thing.
Yeah, there was an error, yeah.
And they repaired that, so they fixed that. But your question, so this would be the point where you could again phrase that question to the audience if they want to help out.
Yeah, but that would then go for the Dutch audience only. And my call to action is that if anybody in Holland has filed, and whether it's a doctor or a patient or a family member, if you have a confirmation letter from the LARET that you filed a case safety report, and you would want me to verify if that report is accurately registered at the EMA, then I volunteer to do that. Yes.
Okay, so people can review that. That's the first conversation that we did. And then we continued, again, the second one is in Dutch, English subtitled, going into a 150-page report you wrote about the workings in that European database. What do you intend to do with that report, and what's in it?
The report is providing the deepest level of detail with regards to our investigation. It details that it shows that there is a systematic preference for having records disappear in certain categories, let me put it that way. The fact that records are retroactively modified, we show where we see that, to what extent we see that. There are some other findings and anomalies that we discovered that we have also documented. The objective of that we state also in our report is that we think a forensic investigation is needed into the integrity, the completeness, the quality of the EMA Uitrevigilance database and the processes in there.
Yeah, you're calling for an audit on the system as the
forensic audit. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As the signals that you derive from that weekly download indicate what something we can't explain. And the way I understand it, hundreds of thousands of case safety reports lost the age group that they were originally filed in.
Yeah, and not only for COVID vaccines, by the way. The report and the investigation was had an initial focus on COVID vaccines only, but we have also presented evidence that this is taking place all across the board, so also for other products and substances.
And another finding was that if you look at a certain point in time through those downloads, let's say we look at October 1st last year, a certain amount of people would have been reported a death as a side effect. That's the most severe one. However, if you were to look at that same calendar date a while later, like in a month or two from now, we go to October 1st last year again, that number might have changed. It would appear that less people would have died at that point.
Yeah. So what you see is that, let's say, on January 1, I perform a download of the EMA database. I do the same a week later. Then what we see is records were added, obviously, also for suspected fatal events. Yeah. But we also see records disappeared. So 12 records may be added and 8 removed.
It would appear that only 4 new records were
exactly
entered.
Yeah, because EMA only publishes the cumulative total up to that date.
There's a lot of complicated words that are also we are using now because we're pretty much in depth into this topic. We're talking about adverse events of medicine use, and countries have a system for that where that's reported. In the Netherlands, the organization managing that is LAREP. In Europe, that's EMA, the European Medicine Agency. Their database is called Eudravigilance. And we are talking about pharmacovigilance. Could you tell me, in layman's terms, what is pharmacovigilance?
It is monitoring and safeguarding the safety of medication and vaccination.
Who is using the Eudrovigilance database in Europe? Who is it for?
Internally EMA is using that database. The national competent authorities, such as the LAREP, makes use of that. They also have the data. Market authorization holders are obviously informed of what's going on. Researchers in the medical space, let's say, in the medical science, that have authority to access the data.
Yeah, and healthcare professionals, medical people.
No, I don't think so, because the amount of information that you can obtain from the EMA Eudrovigilance interface that is exposed to the public and to healthcare professionals is of marginal use.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we have the Eudrovigilance database in Europe. Are there other such databases globally?
Yeah, I think in Australia it's called DEAN. In the US it's called VAERS. The WHO in Uppsala has the Fiji base database. So there's
more such databases that work more or less the same or have the same purpose. Yeah. Have you looked into those as well?
No.
Okay. So that's the scope of your research.
I have in the past, but not for this.
On we're on focusing on the European database that is Eudrovigilance. Okay. In 2021, some 3.5 million reports were processed. That's like 10,000 daily, according to the fact-check instruction video made by EMA. People can review that themselves. We've watched that thing. And so those records may get deduplicated or nullified when there's an error in the report, for instance. Cases do not disappear, is stressed. You claim that
They say in the fact check video that
cases do not disappear.
Okay.
However, they appear to have.
I see something else.
Yeah, you see them not being visible anymore at a certain point in time. Okay. How many new cases filed in 2021 did you find in the EMA database, and how many were in the nullification database?
The nullification database, EMA stopped publishing that in March 2022. So there's only a couple of thousand items in there. For 2021, by heart, some 45,000 nullification requests were published by the EMA.
Okay. Now, we're making bold statements here that records appear to be changed or certain part of records are made invisible, like the age group, and that records disappear altogether.
Why is that a bold statement? It is an observation. The observation is bold. It is...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the statement, I would say.
Fair enough, and people can review what we've done. That's why we're recording your monitor and recording everything that we're seeing, so people can verify for themselves the validity of those statements.
Yeah,
but they're bold nonetheless. Have you brought them to the attention of politicians, journalists, or the larger audience? What's your plan? Apart from talking to me.
I've been on a YouTube channel of Black Box TV, a Dutch channel, regarding the missing records and the modifications, and the redactors of Black Box had emailed with EMA if they were interested to join the conversation, and EMA replied in an official statement that they, how did they say that? They thought I was making misleading allegations and misinformation. So, end of conversation.
Yeah,
they
didn't engage in conversation, even though through that Dutch journalistic channel they tried to verify.
Yeah, and I find it important to mention that I don't believe that EMA is actively deleting records or something. I'm not accusing EMA of anything.
All we're doing is make an observation.
I observe. Okay. Yeah.
With those collected exports of the EMA adverse events database, you found that on May 29th, 2022, a remarkable phenomenon took place with the reported adverse effects of corona vaccines by both Pfizer and Moderna. They flatlined.
In the Dutch lab.
Yeah.
So what I've done is, with regards to the Dutch LARDEP website, also they only report a cumulative total. So if I look today, I only see what is reported up until today. But by using archive.org, I can travel back in time to see what was LARDEP reporting 2 months ago or 2 years ago. So I extracted all the data and I analyzed that, and I see that along with the EMA data that we see, there is an influx of case safety reports, and in May 2022, no new report, hardly anything. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we have gone through this in detail. People can review that in part 3 of this series of interviews with links that are under this video. We parted there for a while, and then you came up with an innovative idea to continue this investigation.
Correct.
You had questions that you couldn't get answered engaging in dialogue with EMA or LARDEP. So what was that thought that came to your mind, your chat buddy?
Oh yeah, OpenAI. Yeah, I started engaging with OpenAI in order to get a more solid understanding of what it is that I see. Yeah, and that came to interesting conversations.
And we recorded that, and people can review that also, at least some of the questions, well, an hour-long conversation of your questions to that artificial intelligence bot and its answers, which gave you inspiration to look, and me also, on different places, like the annual report, for instance, policy documents that you wouldn't automatically go look for. It directed you to the annual report of the EMA that state how many cumulative entries are in the database.
Yeah.
So, learning in the most recent report that that's some 25 million in total.
OpenAI gave me an answer that I could not believe.
OpenAI said
there's more than 20 million case safety reports in EMA.
Why didn't you believe that?
Because at that time, I thought 5 million is the maximum that I see.
Because they were not exposed to you.
Exactly.
So you thought, okay, I need to get to the bottom of this.
I'm asking OpenAI, you know, are you sure? What is the source for your answer? And you try and ask questions from all kinds of angles to find out that EMA is reporting that number in their annual report.
There you go. We have looked at that, and me also have gone through, you and I have gone through all those policy documents and regulations and annual reports.
And technical documentation.
As they are available.
Yeah.
And you then downloaded whatever is available in records. So what did you manage to extract?
Yeah, well, I used OpenAI to get a more solid understanding of my capabilities to enter EMA. Into EMA, in a legal way, and then, thanks to you, I came in touch with a brilliant developer that started coding a tool that enabled me to download and harvest everything that is publicly available in EMA.
So, in contrast to the 25 million that are supposed to be there, what did you find?
I found that the public cannot access all of them.
What did ChatGPT tell you about the discrepancy?
Two things. First of all, that as a public audience, I can only see a limited amount of fields inside any report. That's fine. Secondly, the OpenAI gave back to me that to protect the interest of the pharmaceutical industry, certain case safety reports are not exposed to the public.
I have gone through documentation such as it is available and have not been able to find direct permissions or
no procedure that procedures that.
No, so no. We couldn't verify that claim by ChatGPT. Next question is, from November 2021 to October 2022, in 52 weekly snapshots, your team downloaded the EMA records.
Let's go back one step.
Oh, sure.
Although we cannot confirm the answer that OpenAI gave, what I can confirm is that EMA has far more records in their position than that I can see are available in public. That is clear confirmation. So, and that I was able to discover that by means of OpenAI. If this is happening because they protect the industry, I don't know.
Now that was, that's where my curiosity hit a dead end. So why aren't we seeing, as the audience, as the public, as people with a health interest and healthcare professionals, every individual case safety record in that database? This should be in the public domain. Why is this hidden? Apparently for commercial interests by pharmaceutical industry. How does that take preference? If it does, how is that more important than our healthcare?
Yeah, what I asked the OpenAI was, what is the prime objective of the European Medicines Agency? What is its prime objective? Isn't that to protect the general public health?
Yeah.
No, there's also an interest towards the pharmaceutical industry.
And how that's weighed is unclear for us based on those policy documents.
Exactly.
So these series of interviews lead up to questions that we can't answer. We can only show the data that we found and post questions.
And see the patterns and expose these patterns.
Yeah, we'll get to the patterns that you've analyzed based on the data in like 5 minutes from now.
Okay.
So from November 21 to October 22, in 52 weekly snapshots, your team downloaded the EMA records. This means whatever gets added and subsequently removed or made hidden between those two snapshots, you don't see that. I mean, if you download something on this Saturday and you download it again on this Saturday, and something is added on Tuesday and removed on Wednesday, you don't see that.
Correct.
You came into contact with German researchers who also created such snapshots, increasing your resolution.
Yeah.
What did you find based on their research?
That there's a lot more that disappears than what we initially thought. And a factor 2 to 3 more.
Yeah, so to elaborate more on that, did you go into hourly downloads or how far in detail did you go?
Yeah, the German team is busy performing an hourly download but I think it is limited to the COVID vaccines, I'm not sure. And they discovered that most deletions take place around 3 o'clock at night.
Or deletions,
but I don't
rather.
I don't have the details about that, but we sometimes talk to each other.
What people observe is that at 3 a.m., a certain process runs after which certain records are no longer visible.
That's what you said. That is what it boils down to.
Can you describe in short how does one go about downloading all records? How long does it take? What's in that script? How does that work? What did you do?
Manually, that can be done.
It cannot be done. No.
It is it's a monster job to even download everything for one single product or substance. Mm-hmm. So, but luckily you brought me in touch with a brilliant developer. And with the knowledge that I gained through OpenAI on what my degrees of freedom are in order to approach that environment, we together came with a tool that automates all the actions and downloads every individual report available.
So at that point, we have learned hundreds of thousands of records got edited, or at least the age group disappeared from view from us. Thousands of records of people dying as a possible side effect are not visible anymore.
Correct.
And you managed to download a copy of the database such as it is visible.
Yeah.
You then started to analyze that database.
Yeah.
That's the fifth conversation that we just recorded in more detail. What are the biggest findings that you did on that data?
Well, first of all, that those 25 million ICSRs that exist at the EMA, which represents 1500
storm clouds are approaching proverbially and literally, but carry on.
So 25 million ICSRs are available to EMA. They represent some 15 million unique cases according to EMA.
Yeah.
I only can download 10 million. There is not more than 10 million are exposed in ultra-vigilance. That is one. The second is I see a tremendous reduction in influx of case safety reports by healthcare professionals all over Europe. There is a 50% decline in the recent years. Number three. While the EU comprises of some 27 member states, effectively only 4-5 countries contribute to EMA. So there is an extreme underreporting in the majority of the European countries.
Yeah. However, the data that is available, so it's only data from a few of the member states. Which are the most reporting member states then?
By heart, France, Austria, the Netherlands, Germany.
And that will be the top 4 or 5?
UK.
Okay. Okay. So with that disclaimer, we're only looking at data that is from those countries because the other countries apparently aren't reporting.
Well, they do report, but
marginally compared. Yeah. You looked into the data and you analyzed it with a reporting software that you're comfortable with called Tableau. Well, you can use any software that's available.
Yeah, it's business intelligence.
Business software. Intelligence software. What did Tableau tell you?
I created a dashboard that allows me to take a holistic approach on all the effects, on all the reactions, and all the products and substances over time, over all different dimensions. Obviously, it showed me I have 20 years of data. It shows me the strong reduction in reporting in Europe, where the rest of the world, we see a straight line going slightly up. Some of the other aspects, you described it as a hockey stick, yeah? So
a hockey stick chart in layman's terms would be flatlining, and then all of a sudden
there is an explosion in the past couple of months. There is an explosion in reports, not for COVID vaccines, but for all kinds of other products and substances that we do not see in Europe, but we do see it in the rest of the world.
That we just recorded in part 5 of our series of interviews. Yeah. That's when we decided to make this sixth one to summarize everything that we did so far.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
That explosion that can be seen in the past months is reported for products that deal with inflammations, immune diseases and cancer.
I urge everybody to go watch what we recorded. We have not yet decided how to make this story public, so there's most likely going to be a new talk with you, Wouter, on further research. What are the steps that you are considering at this time to make this story known?
I'm trying to convey these findings towards traditional media in Germany, are not successful. I'm in talks with parliament members, both here in Holland as well as in Europe. Yeah, this is, it's a complex.
We're recording this with the intent to publish, but also to at least document what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Okay, until next time. Good. Thank you, Wouter Aukema.
You're welcome.
Het gaat hier vandaag over saamhorigheid.
Dagje zonder hemel.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make.
En dan ook geen hel meer.
You think I'm joking? Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
Wat dacht je alle mensen?
Laat staan dat ik kan ingaan over vuur.
Bezig met vandaag.